Let's take our Bibles and look again in Jeremiah chapter 51, and the Lord willing, we'll complete this chapter, beginning with verse 25, where we left off last time, down to verse 64. And we're continuing to see how God prophesied, just as He had said He would bring Babylon against Judah and the other nations. Now, God prophesied that He would bring many nations and kingdoms against Babylon. We just sang that in the hymn, Lord Sabaoth, His name. That word means Lord of hosts. So, whatever the host, could be an army, it could have to do with angels, could have to do with the galaxies, but it is God that directs it all. Here in verses 25 to 32, we see God prophesying against Babylon, as we've been seeing since the beginning of this chapter. He says, Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyest all the earth, and I will stretch out mine hand upon thee, and roll thee down from the rocks, and will make thee a burnt mountain. And they shall not take of thee a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations, but thou shalt be desolate forever, saith the Lord. Set ye up a standard in the land, blow the trumpet among the nations, prepare the nations against her, call together against her the kingdoms of Ararat. That should sound familiar. That Mount Ararat was where Noah's ark settled after the flood. It's in modern day Turkey. So these are nations that the Lord would raise up and bring against Babylon. Many in Ashkenaz appoint a captain against her, cause the horses to come up as the rough caterpillars. Prepare against her the nations with the kings of the Medes, the captains thereof, and all the rulers thereof, and all the land of his dominion. And the land shall tremble and sorrow for every purpose, not just a plan, but every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitation. The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holds. Their might hath failed. They became as women. They have burned her dwelling places. Her bars are broken. One post shall run to meet another. These were couriers. That's why we call it the post office. Back in the day, they would run with the news. One post shall run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken at one end, and that the passages are stopped, and the reeds they have burned with fire, and the men of war are affrighted. So here we see how the Lord purposed to bring down this mountain. A mountain in Scripture represents an empire, a kingdom. That's why in Daniel it says that there's a stone that would come rolling down the mountain, and that stone would destroy the kingdom. And that vision of Daniel was Rome. You say, well, when did that take place? It's when Christ came in the first century and established His kingdom that could never be removed. But here, this empire, Babylon, is represented by a mountain, but God makes it a burnt mountain. That's a picture of judgment and condemnation. And it's the Lord that says, call the kingdoms together against her. This is the Lord that raises up kingdoms. When Babylon fell to the Medes and the Persians, it was a confederation of nations. That's why it says there to call the kingdoms together. Set up a standard. Prepare the nations, verse 27 says, against her. And then he mentions specifically the Medes and the Persians. So nothing was left to chance for the fulfilling of this prophecy. when it mentions Ararat, Mini, and Ashkenaz. These were three groups that today can be found in present-day Armenia. If you look on a map of Europe, Armenia is there east of Turkey and just west of what used to be a Russian republic, Georgia. And that would be where the Lord purposed that these would rise up and join with the Medes and the Persians to come against Babylon, a nation that no one thought could ever be brought down. And when it says there that they would fail, and verse 30, become as women, that would be a picture then of being without force and without strength. They would fall in the same terror and confusion of battle that they had inflicted for so long against others. When it says there that one post, verse 31, shall run to meet another, the Babylonian runners were renowned. These were like triathletes. I know that when you study Greek history, this is how some of these prepared for the Olympics and other things back in the day. They were strong men. And here they're described as running and going to and fro in every direction to do what was unthinkable. Can you imagine? Because they didn't have cell phones back then or telegraphs and television to announce news. But they ran to announce that the king, that the city had fallen. Now remember, this is all prophecy at this point. But Jeremiah is announcing it as the Lord directed him. Even the reeds that it mentions there in verse 32, they have burned with fire. That was the marshes that surrounded the city of Babylon. And typically marshes don't burn, but they were an area that in Cyrus's strategy, when he diverted the Euphrates River and some of this land dried up, the people didn't even consider it. There was no place to hide. They wouldn't even be able to run to hide in the marshes, is what it was saying there. So verses 33 to 35, thus saith the Lord. All this the Lord's bringing to pass. The God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon, is like a threshing floor. You say the God of Israel, where was Israel when he was pronouncing this? They were in captivity. And yet he was still their God. He purposed to keep a remnant. The daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. It is time to thresh her. Yet a little while, and the time of her harvest shall come. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me. He hath crushed me. He hath made me an empty vessel. He hath swallowed me up like a dragon. He hath filled his belly with my delicates. He hath cast me out. The violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon. Shall the inhabitant of Zion say, and my blood upon the inhabitants of Chaldea, shall Jerusalem say. It's interesting language there when it speaks there of Babylon having devoured me. You think that it's the Lord speaking. And yet it's like Christ said to Saul of Tarsus, how long will you persecute me? To crush his people, to come against his people that he purposed to preserve. Even though the Lord was raising him up to do so, yet it was against the Lord. And so the Lord would judge them. Verses 36 to 40. Here in verses 33 to 35, Babylon is compared to a threshing floor. I love the pictures here. And what's the purpose of a threshing floor? But to beat out the stock and to crush it under stone or under oxen's feet. So the Lord said, just like Babylon had been to the people of Israel, so he would do to them. Now, in verses 36 to 40 is the picture of Babylon like lambs to the slaughter. He says in verse 36, therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will plead thy cause and take vengeance for thee. I will dry up her sea and make her springs dry. When the Lord says, I will plead thy cause, he's speaking to this people that had been crushed, but now he himself takes up the cause of Judah and Jerusalem and would bring Babylon to judgment. It wasn't for anything in Judah or Jerusalem, but because God had purposed that his son should come through that city and that place many years later. So he would plead their cause. It's a legal term of one who stands and pleads before the judge. And what he says there in verse 37, Babylon shall become heaps, a dwelling place for dragons. These are wild beasts, an astonishment and a hissing without an inhabitant. They shall roar together like lions. They shall yell as lions' whelps. In their heat I will make their feasts, and I will make them drunken, that they may rejoice and sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake, saith the Lord. Wasn't that literally fulfilled? You remember when they were having their drunken festivity and the handwriting on the wall that God caused the king to see? And that night, the city would fall. The perpetual sleep that's described there in verse 39. It was describing that the city would be taken and they would never, ever awake. In other words, many were slain in their beds, in their drunkenness, and caused to sleep. It was a sleep of punishment. I will bring them, says verse 40, down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams with he-goats. The people themselves would be their own sacrifice, and no ransom found. Then in verses 41 to 48, we see the Lord, the reason he brings punishment against Babylon is because of their idolatry. It's true of nations. It was true of the nation of Israel. There's nothing that is an offense more to God than idol worship or any other worship other than Christ alone. How is Shishak taken? And how is the praise of the whole earth surprised? How is Babylon become an astonishment among the nations? There's some today that can never think of a time that the United States won't exist anymore. But look at Babylon. Look at Median Persia. Look at Greece. Look at Rome. Who thinks anything of Rome today? Don't think the Lord can't bring nations down. It says here, the sea has come up upon Babylon. She's covered with the multitude of the waves thereof. Their cities are a desolation, a dry land and a wilderness, a land wherein no man dwelleth, neither doth any son of man pass thereby. And I will punish Bel in Babylon. Bel was their false god. And I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he has swallowed up. And the nations shall not flow together any more unto him. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. This is why in the book of Revelation, the fall of Babylon is a picture of the fall of false religion in the end. It's not that literal Babylon is going to be reconstructed. It's been in ruins since this time. But it represents all that has to do with false worship, false religion. And therefore the Lord judges it. Verse 45, my people, go ye out of the midst of her and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord. And lest your heart faint and ye fear for the rumor that shall be heard in the land, a rumor shall both come one year, and after that in another year shall come a rumor, and the violence in the land, ruler against ruler. Therefore, behold, the days come that I will do judgment upon the graven images of Babylon, and her whole land shall be confounded, and all her slain shall fall in the midst of her. Remember that Babylon had power and authority for 70 years over the children of Israel. That's how long they were in captivity. But then became rumors that other nations were rising up against Babylon. And here's where the Lord said, don't be fearful for those rumors. It was the Lord bringing them to pass. And notice here in verse 48, then the heaven and the earth and all that is therein shall sing for Babylon, for her destruction. For the spoilers shall come unto her from the north. That would have been the Medes and the Persians, saith the Lord. It mentions Shishak here in verse 41. This is just a synonym for the city of Babylon. And it's interesting because it's a word that's a hidden code that they substituted the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet for the first. And then they took the last one and substituted it for the second and so on. So if you literally follow the way that this was written here in Hebrew, and because we don't know Hebrew, it doesn't make that much sense, but if you understand how the Hebrew is written, substitution of Hebrew letters, moving them around, it literally spells the name, it spells the letters B-B-L-L-E, Babel. And that's the nickname for Babylon, and yet it's written here as a synonym for Babylon. But we see how God, what He's purposed, even the heavens, it says there, they rejoice over the destruction. And then verses 49 to 56, as Babylon hath caused the slain of Israel to fall. Here we see the as Babylon. So Babylon that plundered the Lord's house would now be plundered. This is what the Lord revealed to Habakkuk. When Habakkuk couldn't believe that the Lord would raise up Babylon to come against Israel, but then he revealed to Habakkuk, who would have been contemporary with Jeremiah, that in his time he'd raise up another nation to punish Babylon. That's what we're reading here. Babylon hath caused the slain of Israel to fall, so that Babylon shall fall, the slain of all the earth. Ye that have escaped the sword, go away, stand not still. Remember the Lord far off, and let Jerusalem come into your mind. That word remember literally means don't ever take this out of your mind. This is an active thinking upon. It's not just remembering and then going on. He says here in verse 51, we are confounded because we have heard reproach. Shame hath covered our faces, for strangers are come into the sanctuaries of the Lord's house. This is what Jeremiah is using to describe the sense of shame felt by God's people. When it says strangers have come into the sanctuaries of the Lord's house. Well, they're the ones that introduced the idolatry in it in the first place. So the Lord raised up an evil nation to come in and sully that sanctuary that they had already sullied. Verse 52, wherefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will do judgment upon her graven images and through all her land. The wounded shall groan. Though Babylon should mount up to heaven. There is actually a reference back to Babel. Remember the Tower of Babel? It was a ziggurat. It was a place of worship, false worship. It wasn't that God was against skyscrapers, but they were building a place of false worship, and that's where they were united together against Him in idolatry, and the Lord scattered them and gave them all a different tongue to this day. That's what the reference here. Though Babylon should mount up to heaven, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet from me shall spoilers come unto her. Notice, from me shall spoilers come, saith the Lord. A sound of a cry cometh from Babylon, and great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans. Because the Lord, notice, the Lord has spoiled Babylon and destroyed out of her the great voice. When her waves do roar like great waters, a noise of their voice is uttered. Because the spoilers come upon her, even upon Babylon, and her mighty men are taken. Every one of their bows is broken. For the Lord God of recompenses shall surely requite. So here we see where God's a just God, and He does bring judgment upon sinners and their idolatry. And then verses 57 to 58 speaks of Babylon's broken walls. It says, "And I will make drunk her princes and her wise men, her captains and her rulers and her mighty men." All that was fulfilled in Daniel 5 when they were in a drunken stupor when the Lord caused Cyrus to come in and take the city. "And they shall sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake." Notice, "saith the King," capital K-I-N-G. That's God Himself, "whose name is the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken, and her high gates shall be burned with fire, and the people shall labor in vain, and the folk in the fire, and they shall be weary." These were broad walls when it talks about the walls of Babylon being utterly broken. In addition to the two massive walls that surrounded Babylon of old, it surrounded the heart of Babylon, there was an inner one as well that was 21 feet thick, and then an outer one that was over 12 feet thick. These were great walls, and yet the Lord describes them here as being brought down. There's nothing that can stay God's hand or say unto Him, "What doest thou?" when He's purposed to bring down a people. And then verses 59 to 60, it's somewhat of a postscript here. "The word which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Sariah, the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, when he went with Zedekiah, the king of Judah, into Babylon in the fourth year of his reign." So it's going back in time. Zedekiah was the last of the kings of Judah that had actually gone up to Babylon pretending to be in alliance with Nebuchadnezzar at the time, but really was in alliance with Egypt and sought to deceive the king of Babylon. But there was another one that went with him at that time, Sariah. And Sariah was one of Jeremiah's allies. And so here he's mentioned as being the one who Jeremiah now, at this time, would send with a message. And it says of him there in verse 59, "This Sariah was a quiet prince, quiet-mannered, and yet one that the hand of the Lord was upon. He had served as Jeremiah's spokesman." He was mentioned earlier as we studied through Jeremiah. Just like Barak was one that Jeremiah confided in. And now he would send this one with a message. And it wasn't an easy message. You look in verse 60. "So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that should come upon Babylon, even all these words that are written against Babylon." This is the message that he was to take. It would be against Babylon, but it would be a comfort to those who were in captivity still to know that the Lord would bring Babylon down. And so he says to him in verse 61 down to 64, "Jeremiah said to Sariah, when thou comest to Babylon and shalt see and shalt read all these words, and that then shalt thou say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. And it shall be when thou hast made an end of reading this book." So these would be the very scriptures that we're reading right now that he would have taken and read against Babylon, "that thou shalt bind a stone to it and cast it into the midst of the Euphrates. And thou shalt say, thus shall Babylon sink and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah." You say, "Well, why didn't Jeremiah go?" Well, he was in Egypt. Remember, they'd taken him captive, ransomed down there in Egypt. And that's where he died, in Egypt. But you can't bind the word of God. Here was one that was with Jeremiah and a faithful servant. I like that term, a quiet prince. He was a prince that the Lord had so made, and serve quietly his very Lord. A lot there to consider. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Father, I thank you for your word and how clear it is when we can understand it in its context, and to know that we're not just reading history, but we're reading your history. That as you raise up kingdoms and put them down, you do so as Lord of all. Thus saith the King, whose name is the Lord of hosts. So as we come to worship, may we be mindful that even in our own lives, everything that has taken place, you have ordained. We don't know 1 second from now what you've purposed, but looking back, whatever the twist or turn of this path for each of us, you have so ordained it. And we do give you the glory and honor. And thankful to know that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that you have sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has paid the sin debt of your people, and in him we are safe. So we give you thanks and praise in Christ's precious name. Amen.